Today, Pastor Nathaniel will be preaching from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. I'll go ahead and read the scripture for us. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." Let's welcome Pastor Nathaniel to come up.
All right, good morning. I feel like it's been a while. Maybe it hasn't been that long. To me, it feels like a while. I feel like I preach a lot, but I feel like I had a nice little break. And I was just thinking, because March 1st was my first day here at Canaan officially. And so it's been a year now. And so you who made it this far, he suffered through all my terrible preaching and slow responses to emails and things. But thank you for bearing with me. I didn't know what to expect when I started at Canaan, and what to expect. It was my first time pastoring full-time, and all I can say is that I love it. It's been a great experience, and I hope to be here much longer, if God allows and if elders allow. it's been a really good experience for me, and it's just been a joy to get to know you guys. And I know that even after a year, I still don't know many of you very well, and part of that is my makeup as a person. I'm very much introverted, even though I come up here and speak and things. I'm an awkward person, if you will. I don't initiate, I don't engage. And then when I'm in the youth group, it's such a different experience, and I feel like the youth pastors, I don't know how to explain it. It's like you spend all this time with the youth, and lots of times people say, like, being a pastor is kind of lonely. And then even more so as a youth pastor, I feel like it's like all my friends now are like teenagers. And that's the kind of things I talk about and I feel comfortable with. And I feel like, oh, I can kind of say anything in front of them. And then when I'm in front of like adults and like Sunday, I'm like, oh man, like I should act proper. And this is what pastors are supposed to do. I'm sure you guys don't care that much, but it's just like psychological and things. But I hope over the next coming year and so that I can get to know more of you better. And if I don't engage you and talk to you, I'm sorry. It's not like I don't like you or don't want to talk to you. It's probably more my timidness and kind of who I am. So feel free to approach me if you ever want to talk or hang out and anything. I would be more than happy to. And my family as well, and my wife, probably never get to see her because she's always with the baby. She doesn't want to, like, not be here and be with you guys. It's just our circumstance. I was explaining to someone, that's probably he's asking me what it's like to be a pastor for the first time, and is it what I expected and things. I said, yes and no, and a big part of it, I think, is the bigger change is my life stage as a dad and my life as a mom, and so it's, like, two big changes at once. And so it kind of feels like I'm missing out on some of the pastoring experiences I'm spending all this time being a dad and trying to figure out how to do all this stuff. And some of you guys will understand as parents, but anyways, long rant. I'm just happy to be here, and I'm thankful for this opportunity, and I would love to get to know you guys more. Getting into the sermon, we're starting a series through the book of Luke, and last week Jamie talked about the big thing that Luke is about is trying to figure out who Jesus is, right? Jesus is this Messiah that everyone has been waiting for their whole lives, and that's kind of the big question in life, I think. If I were to say, if there's one question in life that everyone needs to answer, it needs to be, who is Jesus? And maybe a lot of people in the world don't agree with that, but for me, that's truth. And whether you believe him to be this Messiah, whether you believe him to be God, is going to make the world of difference in this life and then for eternal. And this is the one question everyone needs to ask themselves. Like, what do you believe about Jesus? I believe that's what separates people in the end, the sheep and the goats and the weeds and the wheat, you know? There's going to be one day Jesus comes back and there's going to be this great division. And people are going to be on one side or the other. And it's all going to be dependent upon this question, who is Jesus to you? And so I think that's something we need to constantly be asking ourselves. What do I believe about him? And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. And what I see from Luke a lot, because Luke is a doctor, he talks a lot about people who have these physical ailments, and Jesus does a lot of healing. And to him, this must be like really, really miraculous as a doctor. He knows, like, this is impossible. And we just read a story, Felicia just read the story for us about this lame man. Like, lame means he can't walk. Okay, he wasn't like uncool. This lame guy, he couldn't walk, right? And Jesus just like, get up, pick up your mat and just go. And he did. And for someone like Luke, who's a doctor, is like, there's no way. You know, there is no treatment, no cure. There's no tricks you can do. There's something special about this person, Jesus. Okay? So I'm titling it, he's our physical and spiritual healer. I put up, these are kind of weird questions, but I'll just do it anyways. Would you rather, okay? Would you rather make people happy but have no real impact in their lives, or do what is best for them but have them despise you for it? Right? Another question, would you rather have the power to heal every disease known to man, like cancer, leprosy, anything that makes anyone sick? Well, it's gone. But have no impact on their eternal state, whether they go to heaven or hell? Or would you have everyone suffer here on earth, but have the ability to assure that some of them experience eternal life? Okay, kind of obscure questions, but it's kind of rigged because I kind of make it know what you think the right answer is supposed to be. But I think if we were just to go around, I think most people would want to be able to heal every disease. I think most people in their daily life care more about making people happy than really caring about like ultimately good for this person. And I say that even for myself, right? We talk about how do we interact with people in our schools, at our work. Is it more important that I just make sure my boss is happy and my coworkers are happy with my performance? Or is it more important that I care about where they're going to end up? Do I care more about this person? What has higher value to us as a society, as a church, as Canaan? You know? And these are kind of tough questions, and I would like to hope that I'm kind of setting you guys up a little bit and that it doesn't have to be either or. Okay? Ideally, we can do both, right? Ideally, we can make people happy and have positive impacts in their lives. But sometimes I feel like in our lives we settle for just as long as we don't rock the boat, you know? We just got to keep going. We just got to keep staying in here. Until Jesus comes back, as long as, you know, I'm going to be happy and I'm going to make my money and I don't want to cause trouble to anyone else. And, you know, everyone's cool. We're all good. And when Jesus comes back, if they don't make it, they don't make it. You know, at least I know where I'm going. You know, that's kind of lots of times we would never say that out loud because that sounds really messed up. But that's kind of how it is. Because that's the reality. That's going to happen. Jesus is going to come back. Let's read today's scripture. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began questioning, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Okay. It's a really important part, okay? The big question, who is this? Who is Jesus? Because that makes all the difference. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." Let's pray. Father, I pray that we could be honest with ourselves when we ask, "Who are you?" And that we could be honest with ourselves in understanding who we are. Lord, we pray that our lives wouldn't be so dull and so mundane, that it wouldn't just be getting through, not rocking any boats, just making sure everything's smooth and good, and as long as I'm happy, everything's fine. Lord, we want to see what these people saw. We want to be in awe and in amazement of what you are doing. We want to see radical change in people's lives. We want to have compassion, like your son Jesus has compassion on the people of this earth. And we care not only about the physical suffering that we face, but even more so the spiritual, Lord. That you didn't only just make this man walk, but you also forgave him of his sin. And Lord, we just pray that we would be able just to recognize how we are like this lame man, God. That we are broken and that we are in need of a Savior. So Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us today through your word, and that God, your spirit would compel us and lead us just into action. That God, we would do more than just, that we wouldn't be satisfied by the things of this world. But that God, we could just continually pick up our cross and to follow you. And we pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, so the first point is we need to understand who Jesus is, right? And I already pointed out the Pharisees did not believe that Jesus was God. Okay, they said only God can forgive sins. So who is this guy? How come he's speaking blasphemies? Right? And by this point, they've already heard and seen, maybe at least heard, of miracles that Jesus has done. Okay? He's healed lots of people. All these people were bringing their sick loved ones to him, and he was healing a bunch of people. Right before this, he healed a guy who had leprosy, and he told him not to tell anybody. But I think he told like everyone, and everybody knew in like a couple seconds, okay? And so the Pharisees knew. They've heard about his miracles. But they're like, "Yeah, that's, you know, that's great, you know, and all, but it's one thing for you to do this and another thing to make claims that you can forgive sin. It's another thing for you to claim that you are God, essentially. That's blasphemy." Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Rise and walk"? Okay, this is a question I kind of want to answer today. And so I put this way. Would you feel more comfortable walking up to a person in a wheelchair and telling him that his sins are forgiven, or telling him to stand up and get out of his wheelchair and start walking. Right? What do you guys think? Which one do you feel more comfortable doing? The first one, right? I hope so. I would feel more comfortable coming to someone like, oh, your sins are forgiven, you know, than saying, all right, you know, get up. You can do it. You know, your legs haven't worked for 10 years, but, you know, you just do it. Just do it. You know, get up and get out of here. That's kind of weird, right? And I used to think this question was so difficult. And in some ways it is, in some ways it's not. Because who can really forgive sin? Just like the Pharisees were saying, right? But God. But I think Jesus wasn't trying to do a trick question. I think he's saying the harder one is to make someone rise and get up and walk. Okay? If I were to walk up to the person in a wheelchair, that's really crazy, okay? And both are really difficult, okay? But Jesus can do both. Let's take a look at this. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. Okay? Jesus did the more difficult one to prove that he could do the other one as well. Jesus did the more difficult one to prove that he could do the other one as well. Like, you have a problem with me saying that I can forgive sins? What if I show you that I can make this person walk? Would you believe me then? Which one is more difficult? So Jesus is saying, but that you may know the Son of Man has authority, that you may know that I can forgive sins, I will tell this man to walk. And immediately he gets up and he starts walking, right? And everyone is amazed. Who is this person? Who is Jesus? Right? Like I said, Luke was a doctor, right? He's just going to say, it's pretty much impossible for this to happen. This is the harder one. Yeah, as a doctor, I can't make a guy just get up and walk who could never walk his whole life. And Jesus is saying, which one is easier? You know, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do them both, you know? And to prove it, I'll do this one. Because you can't see that I've forgiven someone's sins, right? You can't see with your eyes, oh, yeah, their sin's gone. He's saying, look, you can't see this, but to help you believe, here, I'll do this really difficult thing. I'll do the impossible. It's not easy to forgive someone's sin or to help a lame person walk, but both are amazing, and only an amazing person could have done either one, okay? That's the whole point of what Jesus is doing. It's like, we need to understand who he is. It's not about, like, the what's. That always is the questions that get brought up in the Bible. What must I do to inherit eternal life? All right? Jesus is like, it's not what, it's who, right? How do you get into the kingdom of heaven? What good things can I do? Do I have to love my neighbor and follow all these commandments? It's like, yeah, you do these things, but more importantly, there's only one way, right? Only one way to the kingdom of heaven. No one gets to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so while Jesus is doing these awesome things, the point isn't to be like, oh yeah, we need to do awesome things. Or we need to experience the awesome things that Jesus does. That is true. It's great. We need to experience like God's miracles and grace in our lives. But what's the point if you don't have him? You know, it's all about understanding who Jesus is and how important he is, how amazing he is, and you don't want anything but him. Jesus is both our physical and spiritual healer. And Jesus cares about both. I'm going to go on a side tangent stepping aside from the passage a little bit, but I love talking about this because it's one of my favorite things that I've learned in seminary and I always keep teaching now, is that most of the times I feel like today pastors just talk about the spiritual. You know, Jesus saves our sin, and that's huge and so, so important. But what about the physical, right? How come there's still a bunch of people in wheelchairs who can't walk today? How come we still suffer? How come people still die? How come we get cancer? How come we see loved ones get sick? And that's not fair. Does God really care? That's what a lot of non-Christians, unbelievers struggle with, right? Why do all these bad things happen? Sure, it's easier for him to say your sins are forgiven. Huh? That's great. The pastors, it's easy for you guys to say your sins are forgiven, but how come you're not helping this person who's sick and dying? Where's God when this person dies? I want to say that Jesus cares so much about both things, the physical and the spiritual. So much of Jesus' ministry was going out healing the sick. The blind, the lame, the crippled, the leprosy, that's like so much of his ministry. And then something that I learned is that when Jesus' first coming, he dealt with our spiritual needs. Your sins are forgiven. And in Jesus' second coming, it's going to be a physical healing. New bodies, new earth, like physical earth, new heavens. Jesus cares deeply about the physical, and right now it seems kind of messed up. But Jesus isn't done yet. His ministry isn't done yet. His life, like the gospel, isn't over. We still have this future hope. Okay, Jesus cares so much about this. He's not going to leave us in a state of death and brokenness. We'll get new imperishable bodies that won't feel pain. You won't have sadness. The tears will be gone. Jesus understands that we're suffering and he cares so much about it. And he has a plan for it. This is why we still need to have faith today. We need to have hope. And we need to be spreading the word to those who have doubts, right? Who are scared. Like, this isn't, like, why is this allowed to happen? It's like, man, Christ isn't done. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for all of us, and he cares about it. Jesus is both our physical and our spiritual healer. The second question we really need to answer is, who am I? Okay? If we don't understand who we are, it's going to totally change the outcome of who we believe Jesus is and whether we really need Jesus or not. I'm doing a second passage, sorry. but it all ties in. So this is at the beginning of chapter 5. So there's three stories. There's the first one that I'm about to read right here, which is about Jesus calling his disciples. And then there's the story of the leper who gets healed. And he tells him not to tell anyone, he tells everyone. And then there's the story of the paralytic guy that I just read. So chapter 5, verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. They just finished their job. They'd been out all night, caught nothing. So they came back to shore and were cleaning their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So he's like, oh man, we just cleaned up, and we just finished, and now you want us to go back out? Ah, okay. Anyway, so he's like, you're this great teacher, sure. We'll try it out, okay? Verse 4, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And I see how frustrating that is. Like, I'm a professional fisherman. I've been out here all night and all day, and I've caught nothing, and I finally just finished cleaning my nets. And now you want me to come back out here. You probably doesn't know anything about fishing, and me an expert, and you want me to lay out this net. All right, whatever. You know what? You say it, I'll do it. And when they had done this, They enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Who am I, right? This is who Peter sees himself as. But when Peter saw the boat sinking with all of these fish, when he saw this miracle, his immediate reaction was to fall down at Jesus' feet and say, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man." Right? Now, in contrast, in comparison, Luke 5:31, and Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Sorry, that's how I meant. In comparison to the Pharisees, okay? From the paralytic man we just read. I have the wrong verse up there, but this is still important. So the Pharisees, right? When they heard what Jesus was doing and saying, what was their response? "Who is this guy? He's speaking blasphemy." Right? They didn't come up and say, "Man, I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins too, you know? Help me." What two different contrasts to like what Jesus has done and how we respond to it and who we think Jesus is. And the difference is Peter understands himself to be a sinner. And it doesn't say what the Pharisees think of themselves, but I think it kind of be read in between the lines, right? We're people of the law. We're righteous. We're good. You know, we follow the commandments. And this is why I have Luke 5:31 up here. This is at the end of this chapter. This is when Jesus is eating with all the tax collectors and the sinners. And the Pharisees are like, "What is he doing there? I come as a doctor to heal the sick. I'm not here for the righteous people. I'm here for the sick ones." And in this story, the Pharisees are the righteous ones, right? How they see themselves is going to change how they see Jesus. "He's not my doctor. I don't need a doctor." Whereas Peter, he sees himself as a sinner. And he sees how great Jesus is. Right? Example I have. So sometimes I fight with my wife. There's one not that long ago, a couple days ago. And we were fighting about something really, really stupid and mundane. We were talking about, we bought a grill and we bought a propane tank and we didn't know what we were doing with this. We had this empty tank. You have to get it filled somewhere, but you can't get it filled anywhere because most places only exchange the tanks. And we were like, "Oh, how do we do this? Maybe we should just buy one that's already filled." And we got into this really stupid argument about like semantics of what I said and what she said. And got really, really dumb, okay? And that's how most fights start, okay? It's really stupid. And so we're just arguing about this really mundane thing, and at one point she like started pointing out things about me and my character. And was like, "Oh, you always get so defensive. And you always get, like, you can't just let something go, and you like always have to like argue back and all these things." And I was getting so upset at that point. And I said some really bad things. I cursed at my wife. "You shouldn't do that." I did it. And I was getting so upset. And the whole time, I was just like brooding. And I was just like, you know what? Like, and we were like kind of silent treatment for like a day almost. That usually doesn't happen. Usually you get over it pretty quick. But we were just upset. And the whole time, I was just thinking like, "She's in the wrong. She's in the wrong. She's in the wrong. And I'm right." You know? And because I saw myself as a righteous person, as someone without sin, without fault, I missed out on the healing. I missed out on forgiveness. You see that? I'm in a broken state. The doctor's never going to see me because I don't see a need for the doctor. Understanding who we are makes the world of difference. And at one point I did recognize, okay, I just went to my wife and I was just like, you know what, you're right. I'm wrong. And at that point, only like after a day or more, you know, I could experience the healing of the forgiveness of my sin. And a huge weight was gone and our relationship was better. Like, I don't know like what my son is thinking, what's going on. We just like try to act like everything's fine. Like, he doesn't understand anything. And maybe he does. I don't know how much he understands. He's a baby. But it's just like, you know, like, now it feels right. We're not like playing like parents that are like, okay, we have to be good for the kid. You know, it's like, no, it's like, we are good. And everything's right and it's restored and it's how it's supposed to be. We should desire that. Because living a life where you're just on your own, you're holding up your own self-righteousness, it's tiring and it's burdensome. You're bound up, locked up. Peter and the lame man both knew they needed healing. And so they received it. Okay? Their understanding of who they were creates radical transformation in their lives. Okay, the Pharisees did not. They only see other people's sin. They didn't see their own. They're like, oh, look at those tax collectors and those sinners. How come Jesus is always with those people? How come Jesus is such a blasphemer? You know, they're always labeling and putting stuff on other people and never seeing it in themselves. Okay. In a strange sense, the sick people of the world tend to get healthy while the healthy get sick. Okay? It's just this whole idea that, like, if you don't know you're sick and you don't go see the doctor, I mean, you're just going to stay in your sickness. This is my third and final point. We have to have faith. Okay? So first and the most important thing is we need to understand who Jesus is. The second thing we need to do is have a real sense of self. And we need to be able to see our brokenness. All of us are the lame man, spiritually. None of us, in a spiritual sense, can walk on our own. And we all need a doctor. But if you're too prideful to see that, like, no, I'm good. I follow these laws. I don't curse at my wife. You know, I'm good. you know, like, I follow the laws. I love my neighbor. I love God. I don't cheat. I don't do adultery. I don't do all these things. You know, I'm good. I don't need to see Jesus. You're going to stay crippled. And you're never going to be able to experience what it's like to run. I can just imagine this lame guy for the first time walking in his whole life. He never knew that he could experience something this way, this freedom. And I want to tell you, spiritually, you can experience what it's like to run for the first time. You can experience what it's like to not be like weighed down with all this pressure to like uphold all this weight of like, I have to follow all these laws, I have to do all these things, and all this weight of guilt and shame, and all these things that sin brings. Jesus can say, spiritually, get up and walk, just run. Leave behind all this junk you used to have and just go. The final thing we need to do is have faith. I know that Jesus is our physical and spiritual healer. I know that I'm a sinner, that I am sick. Therefore, we need to have faith. Faith that Jesus can and will heal us. So what is faith? I believe that faith is belief plus action. Okay? Really simple examples that people always do is like chair. Okay? I believe that when I put my butt on that seat, that it's not going to collapse and I'm going to like get hurt. You know? I believe it so much that I'll actually take the action to do it. Right? If I saw a chair with just like hanging on by like one leg only, you know? And there wasn't four legs, just like one right in the middle. And it wasn't like sunk into the ground and be like, I don't, like, I could believe maybe it could hold someone up, but I don't believe it enough where I'm going to sit down in it, okay? Similarly, like this frozen lake, like, oh, I believe that I can walk on it, right? It's one thing to say, yeah, you know, it's frozen, don't worry about it. Go ahead, go, you do it, you know? No, it's like, I believe it enough that, you know, if it's a faster route to where I'm going, I'm just going to walk across it. I believe it. I have faith, I have belief, and I'm going to take the action. Like, it's one thing to say you believe in God, but what actions are you taking to say, I really do believe in Him? Do you actually have faith that Jesus is going to come back one day, and all my friends and all my family, everyone around me is going to be in one place or the other? While I take action that I actually believe this? Or is it just belief, and there's no action? You know, there's no faith in that. I don't really know if Jesus is going to come back. So I'm not going to worry about it. I don't need to live as if Jesus is coming back. Now, if you believe it, you act upon it, that's faith. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. Simon Peter knew that he was a sinner, asked Jesus to depart from him because he was a sinner. He is like so spiritually sick. He's like, oh, you know, don't be near me. You're so great and so clean and holy, and I'm this like gross, messed up person. You should get away from me. But he had faith that Jesus could make him better. Okay? The action he took was to leave the biggest catch of his life to follow Jesus. He believed that Jesus could do what he said and transform his life from being a fisher of fish to a fisher of men. Okay? So Peter knew he was a sinner, but he also believed that Jesus could do something for him. He believed it so much that all night he's been trying to catch fish and couldn't catch anything. Now he had two giant boatloads sinking with fish, the biggest score any fisherman has ever could catch in their whole life. Man, that's a huge payday. Okay? Talking about, like, this is probably, like, as much as he does in, like, half a year or more's worth of fishing. Okay? He's like, I could just have all this right now. And Peter can be like, you know, thank you, Jesus. You know, I believe in you. I believe you're a great guy or whatever. But if he didn't really take action in believing that he's a sinner and believing that Jesus could do something for him, you know, he wouldn't be one of the 12 disciples that he is. He left all of it. He left the nets, he left the fish, he left the boat, he left his career, he left his family, and he followed Jesus. That's faith. He had the belief and he had the action. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Okay. These men knew their friend was physically sick. They believed Jesus could heal him, and so they took action. You see that? They know who they are. They know who Jesus is, and they believe it. And so they do something about it. They don't just wait in the back of the crowd like, oh, maybe Jesus will come see us. You know, it's okay. Well, if we're lucky, you know, maybe he'll stop by us and be like, oh, look at this guy, let's heal him. No, you know, there's action. They find this creative solution. They go into the roof and they dig a hole through the roof and Mission Impossible style, you know, come down. And Jesus is like, whoa, these guys have faith. It wasn't even necessarily the paralytic man's faith. He sees the faith of these men, of his friends. They believed it. They believed it so much they took action. And because of this action, their friend was healed. We need to have faith, guys. You need to believe. You need to understand who Jesus is and believe He can do what He says He can do. Take whatever steps you need to take in order to receive what you need to receive, you know? If I didn't believe my wife would forgive me, I wouldn't go and ask for forgiveness. I would just brood and brood and brood, become angry and bitter, and I would never experience that healing and that forgiveness. And my family would be that much more torn apart. And I would never experience the goodness of like how it's supposed to be. Right? Know who you are. Know who Jesus is. Know where you want to be. The scribes and the Pharisees began questioning, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" The Pharisees did not have faith. They didn't believe that Jesus could forgive sins. Thus, they took no action. They didn't ask for healing because, one, they didn't believe Jesus could heal, and, two, they didn't think they need healing. It's as simple as that. Every person in this world is going to have to ask, who is Jesus? And if you really believe it, your actions will show whether you believe it or not. Are we the Pharisees? We cannot be healthy. We cannot be a healthy intergenerational faith community if Jesus is not our healer. Do we recognize that Canaan needs healing? Do we believe that Jesus can heal us as a church? What actions, what kind of faith do we need to have in order that we might be healed? We need to recognize our brokenness as a church, and we need to believe that Jesus can fix it, that He can heal it. And we can't just stand by idle, you know, like, oh, you know, everything's fine. He'll do whatever He's doing. No, we got to take action. We believe it. What are we doing to follow Him? Are we just following our every Sunday structure, every Friday structure? I just show up. I hear the message. I go to the Sunday school, and then I go home. Maybe that's part of what Jesus is calling us to do. Maybe that's part of following Him. But I hope we're not just blindly following, like, the structure. Or the program. There's no healing in the program. Okay? Only Jesus heals. Let's pray. Father, we pray that we would just, God, just be real with ourselves. God, I pray that we would understand and experience Your healing. I pray that as a church we could just see our faults and our brokenness. That, God, we could desire more and we could desire something better. That we wouldn't settle for just coasting. I pray that we wouldn't settle just for physical healing. As long as nobody's hurt, no harm, no foul, God. You didn't settle with just healing the lame man's physical ailment, but You also forgave his sin. Father, I pray that that's what we would long for, God, that we would see just the corruptness in our lives, that we could be like Peter and in Your presence, Lord, just fall down. And Lord, even though we ask for You to depart from us, that You would never leave us. That, God, You're not done. You came to seek the sinners, to heal them. And so, Lord, we just pray that, as Peter did, that we would leave everything behind and follow You. That, God, we could see that You are worth it. That You're worth more than the biggest payday, the biggest score we could ever make in this lifetime. That there would be action in our lives. So Lord, we just pray that just that you would speak to our hearts, that you would reveal to us just where we're at and bring a sense of longing into our hearts. And Lord, that as a body we could seek you together, that we can come alongside of each other as brothers and sisters and just help each other to grow. That we could disciple and teach and be in your word and pray together. We pray that we could take action in our workplaces and our schools and our neighborhoods, God. That we could see the reality of who you are and what's going to happen in the future. That we would believe it enough that we would take action. And we pray these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Nathaniel, for the message. Let's reflect on it with the prayers of the people. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. The Lord is good to all. We bring to you the grieving ones, suffering and wounded ones. God of compassion, hear our prayer. Amen.
All right, let's all stand for the song of response.